This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's check in with Canadian Press Weekend News editor Michelle McQuigg to find out what's making headlines. Hey, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Dave.
So let's start in Alberta, where a local police force is attempting to curb human trafficking. Michelle, where is this happening and what position is being created?
Yeah, this is actually kind of interesting. This is happening with the Blood Tribe, which is as you mentioned, is in Alberta, and it's one of the biggest First Nations in the country. Got about 13,000 people there who identify as Blackfoot. And what's happened there is the Indigenous Police Service, after a fair bit of lobbying, actually, has created now a dedicated unit to combat human trafficking on the reserve. This came about because of the crusading of one officer who'd been with the force for about 9 years. And she'd been hearing reports about this and trying to push to get a dedicated unit set up. And those requests were initially denied, but then there was a change of leadership. And all of a sudden, this unit has been created. Now, it's not heavily staffed. She's currently the only member. And it's worth noting that she herself is not Indigenous, but she is hoping to A, expand it, and B, do some important work in terms of trying to curb an activity that she says is happening a lot more often than people might realize.
Yeah, Michelle, along those lines, do local forces have a sense of exactly how much traffic is happening?
Not really. A number of them do say quite openly that they think it's an underreported crime, especially because a lot of the victims don't necessarily think they're being victimized. If they're coming from difficult backgrounds, they're being lured in with promises of all kinds of things. And sometimes their circumstances are, on their face better than they were initially. But the fact is that this is a very serious crime. And so it is difficult to get people to report it, even sometimes to identify what's happening. So no, police forces, they track it. They obviously keep track of how many charges they've been laid. The article from my colleague Bill Graveland looks at a few different police forces, and they've all reported, small upticks in the number of reported human trafficking cases. But the consensus is that those numbers are definitely underreported and definitely on the reserve for the Blood Tribe. This is not a stat that's been kept very widely, and this unit hopes to change that.
Yeah, the way in which marginalized people are impacted and are oftentimes targeted by traffickers. And one of the stats that was floating around yesterday in the reporting is that 57% of human trafficking in Alberta, the victims are Indigenous, 57%, which is a wild number.
It really is, yeah. And that's been pretty well established, even on a national scale, that Indigenous women are by and large disproportionately represented in human trafficking cases. And they get taken really far afield, too. It crosses jurisdiction, which is another thing that makes it difficult to track sometimes. Victims are often trafficked not just through provincial corridors, but sometimes taken out of province, sometimes even across international borders. So it's a tricky one to get there.
Michelle, let's go from one issue that's thorny to a slightly less significant issue, but one that remains thorny for probably, hundreds of years in Quebec. Over to Quebec, where a language protest took place in Montreal on Saturday. Michelle, what concerns were being raised by protesters?
Yeah, well, you say it's thorny and been going on for years, and obviously that's true, but there is a timely element now, and it's kind of gaining new urgency because of a new bill that's expected to become law later this month. And it's pretty sweeping. Bill 96 wants to tighten up language requirement laws and put much, much heavier emphasis on French. This would do things like lower the number of business limits on the number of employees that can speak English, and there's financial penalties that go along with that. It looks to greatly increase the use of French and limit the use of English in a lot of public services. We're talking courts. There's going to be a provision in there that judges no longer need to be bilingual, for instance. In healthcare, another example, English services would only be available to, quote, historic Anglophones. I'm not entirely sure how that's defined at this point. And for 6 months for new immigrants, and then otherwise it would have to be in French. So we're talking about some really sweeping laws, caps on English enrollment for cégeps, which are the schools that people enroll in prior to going to post-secondary school. So there was a big protest in Montreal, even in some pretty scorching heat. It was about 30 degrees, and still hundreds of people turned out to Montreal to protest this bill. They're calling it discriminatory. There's also a big push within the Indigenous communities against this bill because they're saying it's colonial. They're saying, you know, forcing us to learn French is really harkening right back to times when language was imposed on us. So the opposition to this bill has a pretty broad tent, to be honest.
Yeah. When you talk about things like access to the courts and healthcare, that's where you do wonder if there's going to be some kind of challenge framed up, whether it be the Supreme Court, the human rights, et cetera. Just because things like healthcare and justice in what is a nationally bilingual country, but in the defense of Quebec is a Francophone province. It's officially Francophone. It's not officially bilingual. I can see where that one might work its way up into some national courts. So
I'm with you. Absolutely. There are people who are already forecasting that the healthcare provisions in particular are going to cause real harm for people. They're saying there's probably going to be misdiagnoses. There's going to be limited access to services. So I'm with you, Dave, in expecting and not being at all surprised if some broader challenges came up down the line. But of course, those take quite a while to work their way through the system.
They do. Yeah.
And the passage of this bill is pretty well imminent.
Yeah.
François Legault and his government have a majority. This law is going to pass, and it's expected to happen within weeks.
It's always a bit strange the way perhaps language, especially like Anglo rights, become an issue in Quebec elections, because the number of Anglophones in Quebec is in the hundreds of thousands in a province of millions of people, right? So it's a voting bloc that exists mostly on the island of Montreal, but is this expected to be an election issue at all?
I haven't been following the campaign, the evolving campaign. It's supposed to happen next or later this
October,
year.
October, yeah.
But I would be floored if it wasn't one,
yeah.
Just given the sense of the opposition. And also the provincial and federal Liberals have taken this up as a cause as well. So it's kind of inconceivable to me that this doesn't make it self-felt on the campaign trail. Depends, I guess, it remains to be seen exactly how prominent it will be. But given the size of the protest and the strength of the opinions being expressed over the weekend, I think we're going to be hearing more about this for a while.
Yeah, and some folks showing up who you would normally think of more agnostic characters in this, right? Like the dean of the law department of McGill University is out there publicly speaking on this. That's someone who typically might typically try to keep a lower profile in these kinds of things.
Absolutely. And even politicians coming out of retirement to speak out against this. And you know, people who are usually content to see the limelight to others are coming out to speak out against it. But yeah, my colleague Chris Reynolds did manage to connect with a number of people. And it is interesting to see, because you're right, Dave. You see everyone from pretty high profile academics to just average guys on the street who are opposed to this bill.
Ah, good old language talk in Montreal. It reminds me of being home. Michelle, let's finish on a much, much lighter note. Let's look ahead to later this week when Canada will get themselves a visit from some royals. What are the expectations for this visit from Prince Charles and Camilla?
They will. It's a pretty quick trip. It's a 3-day one. They are arriving in St. John's, and then they're moving on to Ottawa, and then off to the Yellowknife area. For those who are interested in such things, please follow my colleague Morgan Lowry. She's going to be on the tour with them the whole time, and we'll have lots of color and updates for you throughout. This tour is going to be kind of interesting. There's a mix of events. There's a lot of the usual sort of royal pomp and circumstance, but there is also more of a focus on reconciliation with Indigenous peoples. Mm. And of course, the backdrop for all this is that Charles's time as king seems to be drawing closer. The queen has been having some health struggles. She is now celebrating her diamond jubilee. Sorry, not diamond.
It's some kind of jubilee.
It's platinum. No, you know what? It's a jubilee year. It's her 70th year on the throne is the important part. So there are going to be some festivities around that, of course, during this visit. But that is also kind of the elephant in the room, is that she's no longer in the very best of health. She's been on the throne for a long time. Charles's time with the crown is coming up, and he simply doesn't have the same kind of popularity that she does. Mm-hmm. So people who are both pro and anti-monarchy are watching this one with a fair bit of interest to see if Charles has any better luck connecting with Canadians. He hasn't been here for quite some time. I want to say 8 or 9 years since he's been here.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be interesting to see how this goes, especially in light of all the royal drama that has played out in recent years. You know, the Harry and Meghan controversies that have come up. William and Kate had a pretty ill-fated tour to the Caribbean. I'm sure Prince Charles and Camilla are hoping to avoid that kind of coverage. So we'll see how this one plays out. There's a little quickie tour through parts of Canada.
Well, best of luck to the Royals and best of luck to my childhood friend, Morgan Lowry, and on her journeys across Canada.
We discovered this connection live on the air one day. It was pretty funny.
Her brother was working security at the Chris Stapleton concert in Vancouver on the weekend. You know, these connections, these connections run deep. Michelle.
Well, you know, his sister's a fantastic reporter. So
she sure is.
Yeah,
she sure
her.
Is. Michelle, thank you for this. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.